ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Pump start.
Yeah.
If you're tuning in, this is the Country Hour, and we're out and about. I'm at the Humpty Doo Volunteer Fire Brigade. It's a Monday evening, and the team out here are doing some training exercises. I'm with Captain Brad George. Tell us what's happening out here.
Okay, so we're very lucky. We've got some new recruits come along, and we're putting them through their paces, getting ready for next fire season whilst we're finishing up this fire season. So it's a great time. The weather's not too hot at this time, you know, the evenings like this, and we haven't got any of the storms yet, so it's a great time for training. So we're running some hose drills, getting some new folks through their sort of prerequisite training, so that we can then get them on a foundation course and up and ready for next season.
For our radio audience, what does a hose drill involve and look like?
A hose drill involves a lot of dragging around of some big red hoses and then rolling them back up again after we've pumped a lot of water through them. Water in a big hose weighs a lot, so there's a bit of a strength test there, but not too bad. We can basically get just about anybody through that exercise.
And just driving around the Humpty Doo region before I got here, there's a green tinge out here. Do you feel the fire season has reached its end?
We got tricked by this last year. We had rain in September, and then we had a quiet October, and then we were out just about every weekend in November, our last fire in the last week of November. So what happens this time of year is that green tinge sort of gives people a bit of a false sense of security. We end up with fires from people getting out and cropping the paddock, doing a bit of a cleaning up, using the grinder in the wrong place at the wrong time, and just the occasional bit of lightning. So what we find is fire gets into the humidicultor grass and just runs along and pops up, and then we get the phone calls.
Tell us your story, Brad, of what lured you into this world of volunteer firefighting.
In the NT, I was lured in because I moved to Humpty Doo. I saw the risk around me, and it took me back to where I used to live in Perth when I was originally a volunteer firefighter, and I figured it's something I can help with for my local community. And I got to tell you, the sound of gamba grass crackling 500 metres away from your house is enough to make you want to do something to sort it out.
As you mentioned, a few new people here this evening. How common is that?
So, when I first started, we could go on roster here 1 week in three. So we could run three appliances, a tanker and two GFUs, and I'd only have to make myself available for 1 week in three. This year, I'm available almost every day of every day because we've had people go and start working FIFO. So they work where they're here and available to us when they're here, but not at all times. We've had some people change careers, and they've gone into things that involve shift work or a lot of night work, and nights are our big sort of call out period. And we've had some people get to that point in their life when they've gone, I physically can't continue to do this, which is understandable. There is a bit of hard yakka, and you've got to be able to get in and out of a vehicle, and as we did tonight, carry a few hoses around. But that doesn't stop people who are getting that way from being part of us, because a lot of those members end up becoming support members, and they'll assist us with fundraising, they'll assist us with keeping the shed tidied up and cleaned, and sort of bringing a few war stories and teaching people how to do things. So we don't put people out to pasture, that's for sure.
Is it easy to sign up and get involved?
What we like people to do is to come down to a couple of training nights. Each brigade does their own thing, but we like you to come down for three training nights, see if you like us, see if you've got a bit of common sense, or we can help you find it, and that you've got some of the basic physical attributes required to be able to achieve the minimums that we need you to achieve. If you've got those, we'll offer you the opportunity to sign up with us. People still have to do the basics like any government thing, a bit of a police check and sign some paperwork, and then once they've done that, we'll get them in and start the training. the best time to start training is this time, right now.
Yeah. Use the wet season to train up.
Lots of training in the wet season, and then get you through the foundation course. And we won't be able to do any sort of burning of anything again until probably May or June. And then in May, hopefully, it'll be dry enough for us to run a wildfire course, get people signed off, and then we're ready to have them out with the experienced crews come the heavy stuff in July.
Thanks for your time on the Country Hour.
Absolute pleasure.
So my name's Jo. I'm a member of the Coolpinya Volunteer Fire Brigade, which is the neighbouring fire brigade to the Humpty Doo station where we are today.
What's this year been like for your fire brigade, Jo?
It's been a pretty busy year for us. It started quite early and quite intense. So we've certainly had call-outs most weekends and a few during the week as well.
And what's your story, Jo, as in what lured you into volunteer fire work?
I think I came from New South Wales, so down there I was an SES volunteer. But when we moved up here, we were living rural, and I think the fire brigade was where I could see there was more need. So it's obviously in the bush around here, there's fairly active fires. So each year you could see that there was a need for volunteers, and really getting into it and getting to be part of the community was something that drew me in.
Every year there's a risk out here around Humpty Doo. You drive around and you can just see how people really live in the timber and in the grass.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people do the right thing and have their fire breaks installed. Others
not everyone
so much.
Does it. No. You can see it.
Yeah, and they're the ones that you get nervous to, and particularly when you respond to those properties where there's no fire break and there's substantial load, that's where things can get a bit dicey.
What's been your biggest fire that you've had to deal with?
I think the most frightening ones are the ones that encroach on property, and whether that's a house or vehicles. When you have a lot of vehicles, we had one probably a couple of weeks ago where there was 20-odd vehicles in the yard, and it got into them, the tyres go up, and you know you get all that black smoke. So you'll be responding, and you can see exactly where you're going because there's that amount of black smoke coming up and the heat, and, yeah, that's when it gets rather entertaining.
Did the fuel tanks go up in that fire?
No, luckily. It was more the plastics and the tyres and, making really horrible fumes and things that we're trying not to breathe in. And yeah.
What do you love about it?
I just like getting in and getting my hands dirty, really. I work mainly in an office job these days, so I like to get out and get in amongst it. and I think I just like helping, so, you know, you can see that need and, you know, get in there and help.
So to anyone listening to this who has perhaps thought about joining the local fire brigade, the volunteer fire brigade, what would be your advice?
Look, I'd say drop in on us, have a good chat. I think to all the ladies out there, it'd be lovely to see some more girls out there with us. And I think a lot of women in particular tend to assume that it's a man's game. So it'd be really nice to see the young ladies and the older ladies like myself getting out there and getting into it as well.
Thanks for your time on the Country Hour.
My pleasure. Thank you.